Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome to Empowered in My Skin, the podcast. We feature guests of varying backgrounds and lived experiences to share their empowering stories, knowledge, and insights. Our goal is for you, the listener, to fill your mind with empowering content to further empower your human. I'm your host, Nkechi Nwafor Robinson, and founder and CEO of Empowered in My Skin, Inc. I'm an award-winning technology executive, having been awarded Most Powerful Women in Canada, Top 100 by the Women's Executive Network, WXN, in 2020. But that's not all. I'm a proud author, an International Federation of Bodybuilding pro athlete, an inspirational speaker, and viral sensation with speeches that have been viewed over 10 million times worldwide. I trust that you are already feeling empowered. So please listen, leave a review, share the podcast, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. For now, I'm your girl. Let the show begin. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome to the next episode of Empowered in My Skin, the podcast. Oh, my heart is so full for this particular episode. I had great B-roll with my next guest. She guides and mentors people to work through seamlessly unbreakable barriers, whether it be creating quantum leaps in their business or exceeding personal goals. She helps people challenge the thoughts and beliefs that are holding them back. Then through extensive work, those thoughts and beliefs are replaced with ones which help to supercharge her clients' growth. As a peak performance coach and former registered psychotherapist, she has been a student of the mind, human behavior, and human potential for almost 2 decades. She is gifted. She is talented. She's a brilliant human, and she is so empowering that so much so that even just this thought of getting a chance to spend energy with her has totally empowered my day, and everyone around me is experiencing that benefit as well. So put your ears, your heads, everything together for this amazing human, Hina Khan!
Well, that just fired me up too. Oh my goodness. Thank you for the beautiful introduction. It is such a pleasure to, yes, share energy and have a conversation that I think will really change the way people think today.
Yes. Yeah. And I actually going to shout him out. My husband, I know he's going to listen to this because he's a big Bob Proctor fan. And I was like, I'm about to interview somebody who's like, who doesn't know who's hung with Bob Proctor.
Yes,
by Bob Proctor. So this is really, I'm really, 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 really excited. So, you know, one of the things I just want to start off with is you, like, obviously you're very brilliant in the space of like thought leadership and personal growth and development. And so I recognize, just having a love for that space as well, that it's not elusive to you, you know? And so I want, my first question to you is, as you think about where you are right now in your life, what are you like, what are the things that you want to increase and what do you want to decrease in your life as you continue to evolve?
Oh my gosh. I always want to increase my awareness, my consciousness. This is something Bob taught me early on, is that our results come from our consciousness. It comes from our awareness. So if I want to increase my impact, increase the amount of lives that I'm touching, the way to do that is by increasing my awareness. So I'm always about increasing awareness. And as you do that, it's like the eagle, you know, when there's a crow on the eagle's back, the eagle's not bothered by the crow because the eagle knows that as it gets to a higher altitude, the crow must fall off.
Yes, yes.
The eagle doesn't even fight it. It will leave. So I guess what will be decreased is what is no longer in alignment or in harmony with my awareness as it expands. And I will allow that to just fall off as the timing is right for it to do so.
Right, organically. It's not even something that you need to try to do. It's something that just happens. Yeah. And you know, you mentioned eagles and everyone that knows me knows, like, I'm so in love with eagles. I remember even to the fact when I used to I do affirmations. And as I really understood and talked about eagles, I get to a point where I say, I'm an eagle. And my husband would be like, you're an eagle now. And I'm like, yeah, I'm an eagle. You know, they're majestic. They have a wingspan from 9 feet to, you know, tip to tip. And they fly at 10,000 feet in the air, fly higher than any jet planes. And the most amazing thing is eagles make love in the air. He's like, oh, I'm an eagle. Ooh.
I didn't know that.
The only animal that conceives in the air.
Wow, I love that.
Yes. So my husband's like, I'm an eagle. So the theme, you know, what I really want to go into, and it's actually, you know, big for me. I actually did a speech on identity and it went viral. Mm-hmm. So really delve into identity, I know, like, or self-image, I'm going to call it. I've always defined identity as the portal from which we live life. And so really want to get into that conversation with you. And, you know, if you can start us off with, you know, what is self-image?
When I'm talking about self-image, I'm not talking about what we see when we look in the mirror. It is about how we feel about ourselves on the inside. The part that is with us when we are all dolled up to go somewhere, the part that is with us when we are in our pajamas, the part that we wake up with, the part that we go to bed with. And as you said, it's the way that you see the world through the lens of how you feel about yourself. That's where your worthiness is. So if we look at our results in our life, what we have in our bank account, where we are in our relationships, it's a reflection of our self-image. It's a reflection of how we feel about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I love to listen to Sarah. Results are in our routine. So essentially, do our self-images then inform our daily habits, our go-tos, our routines? Like, how do we marry that? Like, how do we know when we have routines that are serving us versus routines that are damaging our self-image?
That's a great question. And one of the things to think about is that, like a thermostat. Mm-hmm. So, and this is from the work of psychocybernetics, and probably one of the best work out there on self-image is by Dr. Maxwell Maltz, who wrote the book Psychocybernetics. Mm. And he says, you know, we all have a thermostat setting. So your self-image there's a thermostat, there's a financial thermostat of how much that we are, that we are aware of, that we can make even. And that's attached to our self-image, into our relationships. What we are available for, what we are not available for, is attached to our self-image. Boundaries are attached to our self-image. So we can never outperform it. And if you want to know what results you want to change, you just look at your current results and say, what am I not happy with? Okay, so let's just take money, because that is one that many people can relate to. I would love to make double what I'm making. All right, then what you want to ask yourself is, do you have the thoughts, feelings, and actions? Mm-hmm. Is your self-image in harmony with someone that would be making double? What are the habits that you're doing? Because the habits of the person that's making double or triple, and it may not be a lot of things, but there could just be some tweaks that they're doing that is different from what you are doing.
Woo. And you know, so I have a question for you then. How important is it then for those things that I want in my life? How important is it for me to surround myself with people that already have it?
I think it's very important, because we do this thing called confirmation bias, where we look for evidence. And if you're around people that have what you desire, or are living the life, or are on their way, you have evidence that this can work, that this is available for you, that you are no different. Mm-hmm. But if you're mixing with a crowd that doesn't, that has judgment around it, it will be very difficult for you to rise up to this with that, because you will be aware of what you will lose. You will lose those friendships, or you will be judged if you go in this direction. And so many people don't move out of where they are. And I'm talking about from neighborhoods of where they are to going for a promotion, because they don't want the people that, they don't want to be the leader to the people that are now their colleagues. Mm-hmm. And so it is, in who you surround yourself with is incredibly, incredibly important, because also that's where the ideas are. Mm-hmm. You don't have to know everything. The reason we sometimes don't go for things is we're like, well, I don't know how to do it. You don't have to know how to do it. Yeah. But there's somebody out there that knows how to do it, and reach out to them. Yeah. Become friends with them. Look at the people that have the lifestyle that you want. And maybe you can't become friends with them, but you can listen to their material.
Yeah.
Like yeah. Your podcast.
Yeah. Woo.
Yeah.
Thank you. And you know, something you touched on something in there that I know I felt, which is around not seeking opportunities because of the fear that's lived in me that suddenly I'm going to have to, these people are going to, would report to me. And how's that yeah. relationship going to be? And, you know, how are they going to feel about, and then it held me back, you know? Anyway, so now my next question then is, can you outperform your self-image?
So it's interesting. You've got to work on your self-image as you're working on your goal. You must see it as one and the same. So your self-image is the lens that you see everything through. So if you feel like I'm not worthy of this, I couldn't do this, then you will not do it. And you will blame other people for it. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not the right time. There's a lot of blame that can go around for why you're not living the life that you want to live. Mm-hmm. You've got to bring your self-image up to the place of where your goal is. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to say this again. You've got to raise your self-image up to the place where your goal is, because your goal exists right now. Creation is finished. You don't have to create anything. It just must be displayed and manifested through you. So it's already here. So it's about raising your consciousness, awareness, and your self-image. Because here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I could say to somebody that's listening right now, and let's say they say, I would love an extra 20K. Just right now, I would love it. And I said, okay, I'm going to give you an additional 20K, no strings attached. If their self-image isn't in harmony with someone that has that kind of money, they will spend that.
Yeah, and lose it.
In a heartbeat. They won't be able to hold on to it. Mm-hmm. It's as if it will come through the front door and out the back door. Like, they literally will not be able to hold on to it. And this is what we see with lottery winners that don't have a self-image to match the wealth, because they don't have a wealth consciousness. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter. It's not you. Even if you get it, you won't be able to hold on to it. Why? Because you don't have a self-image of receiving. You don't have a self-image of having. You have a self-image of lack. So you're going to go back to that thermostat setting. So there's going to be times, though, where you are doing the thing, but your self-image isn't fully there. So there is a time where you're kind of in these two worlds. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example from my mentor, Bob. So when Bob first bought a Cadillac, and he could pay for it in cash. Mm-hmm. So this is like back in the day. And he paid for it. Well, first of all, he went into the dealership many times, but he felt so uncomfortable there because no one he knew really drove those kinds of cars. And who is he to have that kind mm-hmm. of car? But he buys it eventually. Then what he would do is he would park it far from where his meetings were so people wouldn't see him. And then it was winter and he was like, what the hell am I doing? And he parked. But so there is a time where you're in the new space. Mm-hmm. Your self-image hasn't fully aligned in, but that's the time where you've got to have the mental stamina to mm-hmm. hold it, because part of you is going to want to bail and say, this is so freaking uncomfortable. Let me just go back. But isn't it fun to have those moments in times of like to have that expansion in times of things that can be still a stretch, but kind of a luxurious stretch? Yeah. Like yes, for me, one was flying first class. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell anybody because I thought I would have so much judgment on it. And at that time I didn't post about it years ago because of that. Like, so my self-image was still in economy, mm-hmm. even though my body was in first class. So I couldn't, if I was in economy, I would have posted all about it. Like, here we go. We're on our trip. And I would have felt okay. Cause that's where I felt like my community was at. And that's how they were used to seeing me. And, you know, and can I be relatable? Am I down to earth if I'm in first class? Do I feel like I'm above someone? So there's times where it's got to catch up. But when it catches up fast. And let me tell you,
it's fire after that.
And then you're just like, you know, You know, Bob always told me front of the plane, back of the car. And I was like, yeah, that's words to live by. Because you realize that when you have more, other people have more.
Exactly. And when you are when you're excited about it, other people can get excited about it.
Because they don't even know they can want it.
They
don't even know. Because here's the thing. I didn't know people that looked like me.
Yeah.
Flew first class. I never saw that.
Yeah.
I saw a certain type of person. Was in my mind that made millions, flew first class, had this lifestyle. It wasn't me. So, holy crap, am I going to perpetuate for other little girls and boys out there? But because I'm a little uncomfortable that this is not available for them? No. I had to give myself a check and say, no, I will be uncomfortable for a moment. If it can show people that this is available to you, this is available to you if you look a little bit different, your skin color is different, you identify differently, this is still available to you.
You know, I love that you say that because as a Black woman, especially in technology, one of the biggest identity growths that I believe that I locked into, you know, a couple of years back, and even now how I represent myself with, you know, my some of my red hair and I had a shaved head and I'm an executive and all this and the other, is that I decided that I want to, you know, we talk about being the only, you know, especially as women, like we're the only in the room. And I know for a lot of people, there's a connotation that goes with that. I'm the only. And so it's like, oh God, I'm, you know, I'm not supported and this and the other. And I was like, no, I want to be in the rooms where I'm the only, where I'm the unicorn. Because why? Because I'm creating, I have the ability to create space for more people to come up that look like me after me. You know, and if I'm constantly in the room where people look like me, then you tend to conform. You tend to not seek why you're, and even in a room where people look like me, I still want to know why I stand out, you know? And so anyway, that came to me when you spoke about that is like, that's almost a, like a skill that you can harness, which is like, no, I want to go and find those spaces that, you know, I don't see myself in and trailblaze and blaze a path for others to come up behind me. It's a, I think it's a position of identity power, you know?
I completely agree. And you don't know who's watching.
Yeah.
You don't know, like, who, I mean, I have people that are not my clients that will send me notes saying, you know, I just listened to this, or I saw that, or I saw you there. And it showed me that what was possible for me as well. I never thought, I never knew that, you know, this was even in the realm of possibility. And so we do, so self-image, we can sometimes can be, it can, we can confuse it and be like modest instead of being honest.
Say that again.
And yes, we're modest instead of being honest because we've grown up to think, well, don't brag, or, you know, you don't share your accomplishments. And so we've been seeding these things, we're seeding them, the harvest comes and we're hiding our harvest. So the self-image work is so important because you've got to be able to be in your harvest and be okay if some people are not okay with your harvest. That's the self-image work. And that's okay because I'm not for everyone. But for those that I am, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
And if I can show you something that is possible for you, that is wonderful.
Yeah.
But I can't do that if I'm hiding my harvest.
Yeah.
I cannot do that. And if I'm trying to be really modest and, you know, not bragging, it's not doing anyone any good. So to be honest, I really think playing small is being selfish. It's a disservice. And we have to get out of our own way. And the way to do that is to build our self-image. That's the only way to do it to start with, because you don't need anything outside of you. You can start right now.
Yeah, I love it. And there's, you know, what comes to mind really is the Marianne Williamson quote, you know, our deepest fear.
Yes.
Yeah, where it goes on to say, you're playing small does not serve the world, and there's nothing enlightened about shrinking so others do not feel insecure around you. And the reason I did, my expression was, woof, 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 it's because I'm in therapy and working on, and it's just really working on where are my blind spots and all this and the other. And what's really coming off for me that I, is that I've been playing small in certain spaces to not feel like I'm overpowering that space, you know, and I'm recognizing that I'm holding, like you said, when you play small, you are selfish. You're doing,
it's selfish. You're being selfish. And now here's the thing, as you said, you know, you possibly could have culturally a lot of paradigms that are handed down, beliefs about a Black woman taking up space. Oh, you don't want to be loud, or like it has not been safe mm-hmm. for Black women to take up space. There's been labels mm-hmm. attached, like the angry Black woman. So, you know, what we can understand in self-image work is that a lot of things have been inherited. It comes in our culture and our community. And that's why this work can be so difficult. Yeah. And you need to be guided with it because you're dealing with all of those paradigms. Mm-hmm. This work takes courage. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is not for the faint of heart. This takes courage and dedication to your well-being.
Yeah. And so my next question is really around, you know, someone who has self-image versus someone who doesn't. And what I want to even just delve a little bit into is, can you have pockets of self-image and in pockets where you don't have it and where, or shows up differently? Like, what can that look like in somebody's life?
Absolutely. So we all have a self-image, and this self-image was created when we were younger, in the house that we grew up in, the family we grew up in, our culture, our community. Now, we have the opportunity to change that and shape our own self-image. But there are going to be some places where maybe your self-image is really strong and others where you're not as confident, which is why we can see that some people, they are killing it in their professional life. Like, they are doing incredible, but their relationships are a disaster. Mm-hmm. There's a disconnect there. So there can, or financially they're doing very well, but again, in their relationships, they're not, or in their relationships they are, but financially they're really struggling. So there can be different pockets which require a different thermostat setting. It's like, okay, we need to increase the mm-hmm. thermostat here. We need to increase it here. We're good over here right now. And so if you're wondering, like, well, what do I work on? Mm-hmm. Start mm-hmm. with what is a result in your life where you are not happy, you do not like the result. And then create a self-image that is empowering, that is a match to the result that you would want in that area. That's how you know where to start.
I'm taking notes, y'all. That's why there's a little bit of a pause here. Y'all need to take, that's your action coming out of this is what do you want to work on? How often do we really ask ourselves that? And do you think the work that we recognize we need to do scares us more than empowers us?
Absolutely, because we will focus on what we will lose as opposed to what we will gain. And the truth is that usually you'll gain more than you can even imagine because you can't even imagine it. But if we look at peak performers, if we look at the top 1% anywhere, most of them work on themselves. Mm. They really do. And they make themselves a priority because they know that their results come from their level of thinking. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily come from working. It actually rarely comes from working really hard and working all hours and hustling. That will just get you a lot of the same. It comes from growth comes in rest. Mm-hmm. You know, if we look at athletes in their training schedule, it's working out and then rest days. Yeah. You've got to give yourself rest days, recovery days to think. This is why we have the best ideas in the shower because our subconscious is opened. We're focused on something else. We're washing our hair and an idea is able to flow in. Yeah. So working on ourselves, it's something that you've got to make a priority in your life. And the people at the top really do this.
I need to connect you with Melanie Saka. We did my first episode of season 4 was on the hustle hypocrisy, but I know she has, and she has a podcast on that. I gotta make that connection. So Melanie, if you're listening, this connection's coming. I know you do a lot of group coaching. Can you talk a bit, before I go into rapid fires, can you talk a bit about how does your group coaching help someone if they want to work on their self-image, get people excited about signing up?
Yes. So the beautiful thing, well, it's exactly what you said around who you surround yourselves with, who you surround yourself with. So now you're with a group and there's a lot of collective wisdom in a group, and you can go really far fast in a group, because especially in a group that's all working towards the same thing, which is improvement. And the way that we work in the group is we meet every morning at 6 a.m. Some people listen to the recording because we have people all over the world. And I invite them into my study. And so what that means is the first 10 minutes, you're just writing your goal to some music or your self-image. Mm-hmm. Then there's some teaching. And then we do a little bit of a reflection. People get so much done in that half hour afterwards because they're so focused. And they are working on their self-image first thing before they're getting caught up in mm-hmm. other people's agendas. Mm-hmm. So that is one way that we create rapid change and transformation in a short period of time in a group. And then there's also material that we are studying that you're listening to, because your self-image was created through repetition. You were told something or felt something in the atmosphere over and over and over and over again. So we want to flip it to what you want it to be in an empowering way, in the same way, through repetition. Over and over and over again, but what you want as opposed to what you don't want. And we do that in the group as well. And part of the group is also with some material from my mentor, Bob Proctor, that we incorporate too. And it's very, very powerful. The group coaching, I think, is really one of the best ways to enter into this material and feel supported and have a community that supports you and is there for your growth.
Wow. Thank you. And what we'll do is we'll make sure in the show notes, I'm sure I'm going to be asking you soon where we find more of you and your programs online. So we'll make sure that links are everywhere because it's the place to be. So I'm going to take you through some rapid thrivers. When you think of someone who inspires you, who comes to mind first and why?
I would say Bob Proctor, because he inspires me not in so much what he taught, but who he was. He really lived what we teach. He, right up until his last days, would go and study in the morning. He taught me generosity. Mm-hmm. He taught me gratitude. I saw him in very, private moments, how he treated people. Mm-hmm. And he treated everybody as if that person was the most important person. From the person that was, checking him into a hotel to the, to someone's podcast that he was going on, mm-hmm. to Ellen, mm-hmm. That was very powerful for me.
Wow. I listen to him all the time. Wish I got a chance to meet him. So through you, I'm experiencing
him,
which is awesome. What's a daily activity, that helps you with your thrive?
My morning routine, 100%. When I started to control my mornings, I was really starting my day with my agenda as opposed to looking at my phone and getting caught up mm-hmm. in other people's agendas. Mm-hmm. So instead of looking for everyone else's updates, I would update myself. And that made a huge difference because also it just prioritized things of what I'm available for, what I'm not, what I'll be working on. But it all comes from my goal as opposed to what everybody else wants.
I love that. Instead of looking at everyone else's updates, I was busy updating myself. What?
Yeah. Yes.
I love that. What is a book that has helped you with your thrive? I know you read a lot, but what's that
I
one?
Do.
What's that one?
Power of Awareness by Neville Goddard. Okay. Power of Awareness by Neville Goddard. I usually have it with me all the time. It's in pieces. I teach a lot from it in my morning calls as well. It was a book that really helped me understand consciousness mm-hmm. and awareness and the idea, this concept that creation is finished and that everything we desire is already here. Mm-hmm. I really understood that through this book. And I will take one chapter, sometimes one paragraph, because I learned how to study from Bob and just repeat it over and over again. And it mm-hmm. just hits in a different way.
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to put that book recommendation will be in the notes as well. What is an app that helps you with your thrive?
Oh, what is an app that helps me with my thrive? So this one is, I don't think it is an app, but it's mygratitudebuddy.com.
Okay.
So here's what I do. I put my I am statements in there. Mm-hmm. And then it will send you
them back.
Random emails or texts mm-hmm. saying it to you. And you don't know when it's coming mm-hmm. and which one it's chosen. So the other day, but what I did was I also changed the name to God. Mm. So I just get these messages from God, but they're my they're my statements. So it's called mygratitudebuddy.com.
I'm gonna check that out. And God's within us. Yeah. I love that. I use my motivation app, and you have an opportunity, kind of the same, to add your own sort of quotes, and they come and you kind of set them saying, I want 5 a day, so send them to me randomly. And I truly believe that the universe, like when you what you ask for, like that's why I don't understand why people don't just ask. You know, the universe is constantly eavesdropping, you know?
100%. He wrote the book, You Too Are Prosperous. And he said that many of us, we just ask for too little.
Yeah.
We ask for too little. Like, we'll ask for, like, why not ask for the best in things too?
I know. I have on my vision board, $500 billion. I'm like, universe.
Yes. Why
universe,
not?
Let me attract $500 billion. Why not? And I speak it. I remember when I first put it, yes. I used to be very timid to say that it was like if I was showing somebody my. Now it's like, no, I'm massively proud that I can be that bold, you know. And even then, one day somebody said, "Why wouldn't you put a trillion?"
Good question. Good question. Yes, like we are only limited by our imagination.
Right.
Like there's no limit. The sky is not the limit.
Right. Right. You don't need to think it's possible. That's the people say, well, if I tell you I'm worth $500 billion, you're now it doesn't need to be possible. Like you don't need to know how.
The how is a dream killer. The how is none of your business.
Yeah. I love that. And so last of my questions is, what is one misconception that people have of you as they see you, you know, you're like, even just this experience, like you're big, you're massive, you know, but what's one misconception that we might have of you?
You know what? I don't know.
That's great. I love it.
I don't know. And I think it's because I don't live in the space of wondering.
Mm. Mm. Explain that a little bit more.
So I am me and I love me.
Mm-hmm.
I hope other people like me. That would be nice. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like I put out a lot of good in the world. But if somebody doesn't, or if there's a misconception, I don't know what it is because it's not in my orbit.
I won't even look at it,
it doesn't matter to me. Even if it is, it's an interesting question, because when I mentioned that I'm a self-made millionaire, I received a note from a male colleague saying, I love that you put that out there. And I'm just curious, did you get any backlash from it? Or did anyone say anything about it? And I said, no one did. But even if they felt that, I wouldn't be available for it. So I don't know that it would even land. Like it may just go by. So I don't know any misconceptions people would have about me.
You know, this is what I love. I love that you just gave me that language, because a lot of people were like, ask me, do you miss, I actually choose positivity. It's just, it's a choice. It's not something that I am. It's, or maybe I am, I've become it. But, and people are like, well, how do you handle negativity, or how do you, and I just always say it's just not around me, but I love it's because I'm not making myself available for it.
Yeah, you're not available for it. And like, if it comes, like, even if it comes, you're just like, you just kind of move out of the way. Like, you're just like, oh, that's not meant for me. Like, I'm not a match to that. Okay. And you know, sometimes but when you're in this work, like, one of the things I say is, we don't teach you what to think, but how to think.
Yeah.
And then you're like, is this serving me? Like, why am I going down this rabbit hole?
Which is what they need to do in the education system. Because if I think about how I went through school, they taught us so much about how to, like, what to think when we believe it.
Yes, that's right. Yes, that's right. But they didn't teach us how to think.
Can you imagine this conversation? Can you imagine this was what filled the school systems?
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of humans we would be coming out of, like, high schools and colleges and... Oh my gosh, this world would be so different.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Girl, I could keep going. You're just such a wonderful, amazing human. My gosh. So tell us, where can we find more about you and learn more about your programs?
So the best place to go is hinnacon.ca. And we also, an Instagram, Coach with Hinna. We also have a Facebook group that's completely free that people can come into called Hinna Success Circle. But everything you need to know, our place to get started. Also, my podcast, Possibilities with Hinna Khan. All of these are just great ways to see if the way that what we're saying in our community is in resonance with you. Mm-hmm. And it's a great place it's just a great place to start. And we welcome you.
Awesome. And I will definitely put all of that in the show notes. And as a parting, I hate to say final question, this podcast is called Empowered in My Skin, and would love to know what that means to you.
It's interesting because one of the, I have I am statements, and okay, so let me just say this. Being empowered in my skin is knowing that I am not my body.
I haven't had that one. Wow.
So I am in a body, but I am not my body. And that empowers me in this body.
Yeah. Wow.
And a couple of my affirmations that used to be judgments that I flipped is that things like, I am that I love my body. I am that my complexion is perfect. Mm. And so this is all about being empowered in my skin, but it's knowing that I'm not my body allowed me to be empowered in my body.
Oh, thank you for that. Thank you for pouring that into the space. Thank you for pouring greatness into this last 36 minutes. It's been such a, you know, I know for anyone that's listening, it is a great elevation of self and mind and what is absolutely possible for us. And I hope anyone by this time, I'm hoping that you recognize that the sky's the limit. And if you have been playing small, play big, play massive, play huge, have the audacity to be a big thinker in your life, you know? And so Hinna, thank you for taking us there. Thank you for sharing energy. Thank you for saying yes.
Thank you. Anytime. This was such a pleasure for me.
And to anyone that's listening, this is sadly where I have to say, we're out. Bye-bye. So there you have it. I hope you are thriving and feeling empowered and thoroughly enjoyed this episode. And remember, whatever platform you're listening to this on, please subscribe, like, review, and share this podcast with someone else that you think can benefit from the tips that were delivered. As Tom Bilyeu says, when we help others think in a way that is empowering, that is the lead domino to create real change in this world. It's been awesome sharing energy with you. It's your girl, and I'm out.